Well, we missed him last week, but he is back this week. Dennis Stewart, lovely to have you.
Very good to be back. I swam my way back.
Oh, you poor thing.
No. It was an interesting time, interesting experience, coping with the occasional flooding of my property. But all is well. Here I am.
You've survived. That's the main thing.
We did
thing.
Indeed.
Now, Dennis, your discussion on Vitex agnus castus, or chase tree, has stimulated some considerable interest and fascination with this herb.
That's right.
Can you tell us about some of your feedback? And first, we're going to get you to talk about the potential benefits of as well.
Look, we'll take up this topic, but I think I should emphasise that of all the herbs that I've mentioned over my many sessions, Vitex has triumphed as far as being the one that has stimulated the most interest, i.e. people coming into my rooms and commenting on it and wanting to know more about it, and also, interestingly, people coming in and telling me that they've been able to source this herb and wanting to know more about how to grow it, how to propagate it. So we'll look a little bit more about some of this feedback in a moment and then look at some of the potential benefits.
We're talking about Vitex agnus castus. If you've got a question for Dennis on that or something else, you can give us a call, 49216216. Now, Dennis, can you tell us a bit more about Vitex agnus castus and its potential benefits and why everyone's so fascinated with it?
Look, this is sort of not overwhelmed me, but the interest in the herb has accelerated dramatically. And I know we've touched on it over the years, but I think more and more women in particular are realising that this is a herb that has a particular affinity for women's problems. And this was borne out by the interest that's been shown, even by people coming in to my rooms at New Lambton wanting to know where they can get hold of the herb. That was interesting in as much that one dear lady came in to tell me that she had Googled suppliers and was able to get hold of the herb, a very good specimen of it at a reasonable price, from a nursery on the Southern Highlands. And I just mentioned that to people that are interested in getting hold of Vitex agnus castus, which again, I must emphasise, is a beautiful plant to have, a small tree with a beautiful spike of blue flowers. I could rave on all day. But it is available. If it's not here in Newcastle, first of all, contact your nurseryman and see if they can get it for you. Also, when you Google, look at Black Mountain, and you'll find that there's a nursery there that also stocks Vitex agnus castus, which supply the plant all over the place. And, of course, the diggers in Melbourne, great suppliers of exotic plants, great reputation. They're supplies that people can access if they're wondering where they can get hold of this herb. Yes, a dear lady came in just spontaneously and said in a rather boasting way that she'd been able to get hold of Vitex agnus castus as if she'd won the lottery.
But maybe she had.
she had. But look, talking about its potential benefits, interesting thing happened to me again this week, just justifying my enthusiasm for this herb and its relationship to a lot of distressing female reproductive problems. A dear lady came in to see me and her daughter was with her. Her daughter was in her early 20s, I think about 24, 25, and her mother sat down in the room with her. They didn't mind that. That's okay. And the mother said to me when she sat down, she said, "Do you remember me?" And I see a lot of people, Amanda, but she said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "I remember your face, but I don't remember your name." She said, "Well, she is the result of my seeing you 24 years ago." And this lovely lass that was with her was her daughter, who was a product of her fertility treatment that utilised Vitex agnus castus. Now, I mention that not to boast about any skill, but I'm mentioning that to say to the very many women that are out there that are battling with fertility, and there are many women that are doing so, there is a potential benefit in the use, the correct use, of Vitex agnus castus, which is a leading herb, particularly in European medical herbalism and now all around the Western world, it's a leading herb to promote fertility after all other options have been exhausted. And I emphasise here that this is not just something that one goes and purchases and then starts taking, thinking that all will be well. Anyone that has heard me talk about Vitex will appreciate that it is a profoundly medicinal herb. It should not be just used like vitamin C or a supplement. It is something that should be prescribed, in my opinion, professionally. It's something that should be prescribed for a particular condition, and it's something that needs to be monitored. Now, I bring that into the equation because there are some herbs which one can take indefinitely. Vitex should be used to achieve a particular objective. In the case of this young lady, she was presenting because she was a classic case of where Vitex Agnus Castus has been a great help to many people that genuinely experience crisis time at ovulation. They experience what is well defined now, whether medico is accepted or not. Many of them do, I know. Years ago it wasn't popular to accept it until their own colleagues started writing about it overseas. PMS is a reality, and here was a lady whose premenstrual experience was similar to that to her mother, and her mother was a taker of Vitex to achieve a pregnancy that was based on hormonal imbalance, from my opinion. And this dear lady had a real problem with coping with what's called the luteal phase, the second phase of her cycle, where at ovulation she changed dramatically into an irritable individual that wasn't pleasant to be around. And I've heard that so frequently. I mention that case just to reiterate, A, the proven benefit in my professional experience of sensibly using Vitex to assist fertility, particularly where one suspects there is a hormonal contribution. And secondly, the way in which in the same family where PMS is dominant again, Vitex Agnus Castus is the remedy that I naturally prescribed, but I emphasise I prescribed it. It is not something, in my opinion, which should be just taken off the cuff, oh, because Dennis Stewart or someone else said it. A condition like that is a medical condition. Vitex can be used with great benefits when there is a medical need for it. It is not just a herb to take for the sake of taking it.
Got John from Greta on the line. Hi, John. How can we help you?
Hello, Amanda and Dennis. How are you?
Hello, John. How are you?
Good. Like, I was in the army for a long period of time and I've got really bad nerve damage down my back.
Yes.
Now, I was on Lyrica and they took me off that because they said I can't be on that long term and put me on gabapentin.
Yes.
Now they're telling me I shouldn't be on that. And I also get steroid injections in my back, which they're telling me also could cause bone density problems. Is there a herb or something that I could take that might just lessen the pain in that?
John, it's interesting you should raise that because I have in my briefcase that I carry around with me some information that was to form the basis of a discussion today that I was to take up on the herb called lion's mane. Lion's mane. Now, I've been doing a lot of research on this herb, and the paper that I have in my briefcase here is so soundly and credibly clinically based and academically based that it's indisputable in its claim that the herb lion's mane, with its many benefits, has proved itself in Asian medicine, where many of our herbal remedies are derived from now, and thank goodness. It belongs to the mushroom family, and it is an edible mushroom, and I emphasise that because we're all aware of the way in which some mushrooms can wipe you out, not going there, but we all eat mushrooms, and lion's mane is a mushroom that is eaten as a food in Asia, China and Japan and elsewhere. And it is eaten for many benefits as a food. And some of those benefits are neurological. So in the paper that I have, And I'd be happy to get you a copy sent to you. If you ring my rooms in Yolampton, they'll run off a copy for you. It's of the, what do I call it, the abbreviation of the paper. And you can see that there is some evidence to suggest that it has some mild analgesic effect on conditions associated with nerve damage, pretty serious nerve damage. So I throw it in there for you to consider if you have, if you can Google, which I'm sure you would be able to, and I suggest other listeners have a look at this, Google up lion's mane and you will be astonished at the amount of information there is on the net. Some of the papers may be a little bit too technical for you, but you'll get enough from the net and what I send you to realise that this may have some potential for you. It is not, as far as I'm aware, it is not available as a medicinal supplement at this stage.
Okay, yeah, that was about half that.
So it is used as a food, and I know it's available as a food and to be purchased from suppliers that specialise in Asian foods.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to try it based on my enthusiasm and the safety of the food, the herbal food, or call it what you like, it's would be easy to procure from an Asian food store if you mentioned the herb lion's mane. They call it lion's mane because as a mushroom, it has a mane, if you like, collar on it, like a lion. There is a botanical name for it, which is called hieracium, H-I-E-R-A-C-I-U-M. Just remember lion's mane. Google it. See what you think. I believe that it has considerable possibilities for neurological compromise. I'll not elaborate on that, but I'm looking at it very, very seriously. And in your case, where you've reached the end of the medical situation, it might be worth your while just having a bit of a look at this.
Might be good because, I'm being told now that I've supposed to be stopping all these painkillers and just work on Nurofen or something. It doesn't work.
I'm not guaranteeing that this is, but it's a novel way, and it can be taken as a food. Some are using it by doing it along the Asian way, that is putting it in with soup, a teaspoonful of the usually powder. Dry powder into a soup and taking it that way. And it's not a bad way to use a herb where possible because it makes the herb less expensive. It hasn't be to go undergo any regulatory or any packaging or fancying of the product. I'm pushing herbs to be used in their simpler form in order to bring the cost down on them. So have a look at that. Get back to me. And if you ring my rooms, we'll get the paper to you that I've got, the abbreviated paper, and that will start you on a bit of a pathway.
Well, thank you very much for that, Dennis. Yeah, I'm always after a safer way of doing things. And
well, good on you.
A better way,
but good on you. I keep saying to my many patients, you have to keep fighting. And my experience in my system of medicine for so many years has been associated with people that have had breakthroughs in their health problems as a result of being fighters and defying sometimes the mainstream medical prognosis and using information usually associated with herbs that has given them frequently a better result than that which they've been able to get from the mainstream. I say this to all my listeners, keep fighting. There's always a solution out there, in my opinion.
Good luck with that, John. All the best. We've got Joanne from Bonnells Bay on the line. Hi, Joanne. How can we help? Joanne?
Yeah, hi. Yep. Yeah, sorry. I've got a question for Dennis regarding fullness in an ear pressure.
Uh-huh. Now,
so the story is I have started with a cold.
Yes.
Then it went to sinusitis.
Yes.
I've been on antibiotics, I've tried Rhinocort, I've had prednisone, I've had a CT scan, I've had a number of hearing tests and blood tests, and I went to see an ENT the other week who looked down my you know, through my nose and my throat with the camera. And he said, sorry, nothing, everything's fine, no blockage, no fluid, no nothing, but I can't shift this pressure.
Okay.
What can you suggest?
Is it affecting your hearing, Joanne?
Yes, okay. It affects my hearing. The hearing test, the first one came back saying that I had a mild conductive loss in the right ear and a mild sensorial loss, in the left ear and in the right ear and mild sensorial loss. The second hearing test came back saying that the hearing was within normal limits, but yes, it's affecting my hearing and it's moving down into my throat and affecting the voice.
Oh, dear, dear. Look, I'll make a few recommendations, and this in no way at all is contradicting what our good medicos have said about this.
I realise that.
I'll throw in a few recommendations that can frequently help conditions associated with the ear and this particular condition of pressure and mild loss of hearing, etc. Think of a combination of the pineapple enzyme called bromelain in conjunction with a bioflavonoid called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. Now, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, they frequently come together as an encapsulated preparation and are always a good starting base in my practice to address these problematical ear conditions that defy medical treatment and for which there's no easy explanation. I believe there's an explanation for the usefulness of these herbs. They're very safe and they work according to some good clinical indications. I would suggest you get hold of those. They should be easily procured. If you can't, you can always get them from my rooms, but always source the things from your own location first. The other thing is this. Okay. For all these problematical ear conditions, I tend to fall back on a category of herbs that are spearheaded by the American herb Golden Seal, which has an affinity for mucous membrane conditions where there's been involved in infection and inflammation. Usually, Golden Seal in conjunction with Echinacea and the use of fenugreek, that is a fallback group of remedies that are not expensive, I would think readily available from your pharmacy or your health food store out where you are.
Yes, but start still here, so that's
good. Start off with your quercetin and bromelain. Don't take everything at once, and give it a couple of months' run, and then move on from there to try the Golden Seal Echinacea combination, which are usually available in an encapsulated form. And don't overlook the simple but frequently remarkable remedy called fenugreek, which we could talk about all day, for its multiple benefits in addressing inflammatory conditions of the ear, particularly where there's been a lot of mucus, suspected infection. Try that trilogy of approaches. That may be useful.
Okay. All right, terrific.
Thanks, Joanne. Thanks for your call and good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joanne.
Okay, next we've got Marion from Bonnells Bay with another ear issue. Hi, Marion.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. You've got tinnitus?
Yes.
Tell me about your tinnitus, Marion. Have you had
it? I think I've probably had it before, but it's really just been bothering me the last few days.
Okay. Marion, have you had it looked at by your good GP?
No, we've got a 3-week waiting list.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I'm not... Yeah, look, it's tragic, I know. But look... In my reading and my recommendation, the remedy known as ginkgo biloba surfaces as a remedy with somewhat of a reputation, to the extent that it is documented, particularly in the European literature, as being useful for this condition, which is a difficult condition to treat. I'm not in any way at all disputing that. And I'm not saying that ginkgo is the cure, but it is recommended, and I've had some patients over my many years of practice who have used ginkgo for addressing this problem and have claimed some relief from the condition. Now, I'll bring in a proviso here, and this goes for the taking of ginkgo for any condition. If one is going to get a benefit from this quite remarkable modern herbal preparation, one needs to take it in the correct dosage and take it for the extended period of time that is normally required for it to achieve its objective. Now, there's plenty of information on ginkgo biloba that's available. If you're any good on the net, just punch in tinnitus stroke ginkgo biloba and you'll get confirmation of what I'm saying. And again, this is more of a medical herb. It's not a herb to be toyed with. And I've emphasised that again in my program this morning. This is not just something that one takes, like a vitamin or something like that. It is a medically oriented herb which needs to be taken for a condition to start with, for which it's recommended, in the correct dosage and for the explicit period of time. So in my opinion, it would be wise for you in this case to see your pharmacist and get a printout on ginkgo and talk to him, because I'm sure he would have a preparation of ginkgo that would meet the criteria of dosage and concentration. I think that would be worthwhile trying, Marion.
Good. Thank you so much. So okay. I just need to talk to him. What about my health food store? Would they have it or not?
They may well do so, and I'm not in any way at all bypassing them. I'm a great supporter of our health food stores. If the retailer is skilled, as I'm sure they're probably up to that, in understanding something about dosage and something about concentration, certainly have no problems. But the reason I mentioned the pharmacist was that this is, how can I call it, a herb which, in my opinion, needs to have a pretty good understanding of how it works, where it works, the potential for interaction with other medical substances. So there a pharmacist might be to an advantage, but by all means support your health food store. I've been a great supporter and have owned health food stores myself. But take on board what I've said.
This is Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. We've got Robin from Karua on the line. Hi, Robin. How can we help?
Darling, I can't taste or smell.
Oh, Robert, that's not good at all.
I've had it for a couple of years now.
For a couple of years?
Yeah. I did have it once before and I saw an ENT specialist and he corrected the issue. But I like natural remedies.
Okay. Robin, if you've had it for a couple of years, my advice would be to get it looked at medically, love. If you've had it before when you were helped by your specialist, don't waste time, spend a bit of money and get it done and overcome this wretched problem. Anyone that's lost their taste or smell knows how debilitating this is. And so it would be unjust or incorrect of me to say try this or try that when previously you've been helped significantly by your specialist. I'd make haste back there and get that done.
Well, I did see a doctor the other day who's got me hopefully on the road to recovery.
Okay.
Fingers
That's
crossed.
That's good. That's good, Robin.
Thanks,
That's good.
Robin. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Have
Bye.
A good day.
You
Bye.
Too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Next, we've got Marilyn from Rathmines on the phone. Hi, Marilyn. How can we help?
Hi, love. Hi, Dennis, and thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have chronic fatigue. I've had it for about... Sorry, I'm emotional.
It's okay.
I've had 5 years.
Yes.
But yesterday I was diagnosed with wet macular degeneration.
Yes.
And within 24 hours it was an eye test and then straight to the ophthalmologist and needle in the eye.
Yes.
So I'm sort of a bit howdy-doody at the moment.
Yeah, I understand.
So what I'm wondering... Is there anything that I can take that would help both issues? I'm concerned about the stuff that's going in my eye. I don't know what it is. and I don't know what's in it. And having the chronic fatigue, I'm concerned that the injection fluid may have some impact.
Marilyn, I'll just come in there and say that, look, the procedure that your ophthalmologist is carrying out on you is absolutely necessary for you. And
yeah.
I've had even family with people within our family have this therapy and have had it for quite some time, and they've had no problems with it. It has helped them greatly. It has arguably saved their eyesight. I understand your sensitivity for any procedure and your concern about what might be in the treatment. That is something that I would suggest you discuss with your ophthalmologist. But look, you must continue this therapy. You're risking the health of your eye or your eyesight by trying to treat it with natural medication, particularly this form of macular degeneration. So
yeah,
I must encourage you to keep going with your good ophthalmologist, have the treatment, and relax on it, because I have not seen any significant problems with patients of mine that I've seen that have been treated for macular degeneration quite successfully.
Yeah, I did ask them yesterday when I went, had there been any studies done on macular degeneration, the injections, on people who do have chronic fatigue and the effects thereof, whether it be positive or negative. And I actually rang the Macular Centre in Sydney today as well.
Yeah.
And they said they weren't aware of any studies having been done.
What I would suggest, if you have struggled with chronic fatigue, the remedy that I have found most useful for chronic fatigue that frequently follows on from serious viral infections like Epstein-Barr and other viral infections, the remedy of choice is the combination, which I had a lot to do in bringing into the country, known as Astragalus 8. If you're suffering from chronic fatigue, give yourself a try on going on to a course of Astragalus 8, a combination of 8 well-proven Asian remedies which have stood the test of time and have been helpful in addressing this situation. Try Astragalus 8 for your chronic fatigue and get on with the job of getting yourself treated for your macular degeneration.
Okay, good luck with that, Marilyn. Thank you very much for your call. Next, we've got Louise from Edgeworth. We've only got a few minutes. Hi, Louise. How are you going?
Well, thank you, Amanda.
That's good. What can we do for you?
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, Louise.
Some help. I've got knee pain.
Yes. Now, is that associated with osteoarthritis?
I'm not sure. The doctor's never said that I've got osteoarthritis.
Okay.
But
have you been treated with? Have you been treated with any injection therapy?
No.
Okay. Is there any cause for it? Do you know where it's coming from? Yeah. Whether it's an injury or anything like that?
I've played a lot of netball. Tennis.
Okay. Wear and tear, my dear. Wear and tear. look. What I will do for you if you ring my rooms, I'll happily send you out a product based on glucosamine and chondroitin that should help you. That will be free of charge. If you ring the rooms, and we'll get one out to you. You've taken the time to contact the program, and I'm pretty good on helping knee joint problems.
I always listen to you.
Okay. Well, you ring up, and there you go. See how it goes.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks,
that's
Louise.
Lampton, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
That's at New Lampton?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, just contact and we'll send one out to you free of charge as a gift from the program.
Thanks, Louise. Okay, lastly, Sharon, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, we've got about a minute. Now, you've got an itchy scalp from the neck up.
Yes, neck, head. I believe it's menopause related, but, yeah, it's driving me crazy.
How long have you had it for?
Probably 10 weeks.
Oh, just 10 weeks. Have you had it looked at?
Yes, I've had my doctors had a look at it. I've tried, they said change shampoos, I've done all that, take antihistamines, that hasn't helped.
Okay. Look, what I would suggest is, again here, you need to have a talk with your pharmacist about this. A product that has pine tar in it as a shampoo should help. Pine tars, and there are products in pharmacy that contain pine tar. It's one of the oldest substances known that has benefit for addressing itch conditions. I use a shampoo fairly regularly that contains a degree of pine tar or coal tar, which has helped my sometimes itchy scalp. Have a word with your pharmacist. He would know what I'm talking about. This is not normally a product that one purchases from the health food store, so I'm not bypassing the health food store, but this is something that you would have to go and get over the counter, a product containing a tar-based constituent. Talk to him. I think he'll agree with me that that's worthwhile trying.
Good luck with that, Sharon. We are out of time, Dennis. It's been a busy, busy afternoon.
We should just mention quickly that someone has rang in and said that lion's mane can be procured in Victoria from an organic pharmacy. So the powder of it can be procured from an organic pharmacy in Victoria.
There you go. So check that out. Mm. And thank you, Dennis. We will catch up again next week
program.
And talk
good
more
program.
About Vitex Agnes.
Well, we might.
Castus, possibly.
That or lion's mane, either one.
Thank you.
Righto.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.